Meeting with Allah Azza wa Jal is the desire of every believer. So, Iman bil Akhirah is one of the fundamental.
That's why Surah Ikhlas is one third of the Quran. Because Ikhlas, Surah Ikhlas is about Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. Say, He is Allah, the One. Qul, qala yaqulu qawlan. In the Quran we see it a lot. Qala yaqulu. Qala, He said. Yaqulu, He says, or He will say. In Arabic language, you have past tense, which is qala, and you have mudari', which includes present and future. So yaqulu means somebody saying something or somebody will say something. Qul is an injection, command, say. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Say, He is Allah, the One. You see, usually you will have a noun first, mention, and then later on you use a pronoun to refer to that noun. For example, say we are talking about Khalid. So Khalid is already mentioned. Then down the line, if you want to talk about Khalid again, you don't have to say his name. You say He. And you mean Khalid. Fatima. And then after a while, you say She. You mean Fatima. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say He. So this is against the norm of Arabic language. In the Arabic language, you don't have ضمير, pronoun first. But because Allah is in our mind all the time, we talk about Him all the time. So for a believer, when you say He, the first thing comes is Allah. So
He is referred to what is already going on in your mind. From the battery of belief. So He is Allah, the One. Ahad, One.
Only. Because we have the limitation of language, and Allah Azza wa Jal, He talks to us in the language that we understand. So a human being, we understand 1, 2, 3. So we say one, Allah is saying, I am one. But this oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal is not oneness of number. Because oneness of number comes when you have a second, third to follow. When we say Allah is one, well, there is nobody second or third to follow Him. Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal is different from the oneness of numbers. Oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal is such that there is nobody equivalent of Allah Azza wa Jal. You see, you say one and you say two. Two as actually one plus one. So two has one hidden inside. You say three. There is one hidden inside three. So they are equivalent to each other. Allah Azza wa Jal, there is nobody equal to Him in any way or shape. Because Allah is Khaliq, everything is makhluq. There was a time, there was no time, right?
when Allah was alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is what we say, there was a time. Because we get used to say things which we don't even pay attention to. Because even time is creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. What is time and what is not time, that is a different thing. And it is not an easy thing to understand what is the reality of time. It is one of the most complex subjects. So, there was a situation when Allah was there, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah has always been there, subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there was nobody, nothing. There was nothing besides him. So he was one, he was alone. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, he wanted to manifest himself. Because all the qualities, you want to call it, all the attributes, all the sifat of kamal, attributes of perfection, all the sources of beauty, all the good is with Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah wanted to present that, manifest that, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah created this life. It's like without any comparison and without any resemblance, because there is no comparison between Allah and His creation. But just for understanding, you have an artist. Artist has a beautiful idea. So he puts that idea on paper. What has come outside is actually there inside. It would not have come outside if it was not there inside. The beauty that you see outside is a reflection of the beauty that is there. So, Allah Azza wa Jal, to make it simple, wanted to manifest His names and attributes. And to be more accurate, and to make it more complex, some ulama, they say, Allah wanted to see His own attributes Himself. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Allah created this beautiful universe. Everything that is there is actually combination of His names and His attributes. Nothing more. Nothing else. You look at the mountains, you look at the stars, you look at the galaxies, you look at the oceans, you look at the water, look at anything. It's only manifestation of His names and His attributes. So Allah is saying, I am the only one. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way He was one when there was nothing beside Him, in the same manner He is one when everything is there. That has not changed. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, He is not subject to any change. You see, we as creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, we have this attribute of growing, developing, increasing, decreasing, having more, having less, young, old, aged, declined. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He is free from all these changes. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He is not subject to any change. Because change is a sign of imperfection. Change is a sign of incompleteness. Change is a sign of zawal. Zawal yani halak, destruction. Because that's how destruction comes. You see, mashallah, beautiful plant, right? Let the summer go, and slowly, slowly you see the leaves changing the colors. Slowly, slowly you see the leaves falling off, and slowly you see the tree dying. Change leads to the end. Kullu man alayha fan. Everything that is on earth will perish. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And it is the face of your Lord. Yani your Lord. This is the expression. The face of your Lord will remain ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. The one who has all the majesty and all the honor. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the only one. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say, He is Allah, the one. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, yani, Allah is saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you let the people know who I am. Because this is the most important obligation that people have, to know Allah Azza wa Jal. The most important duty that people have is to know who Allah is. Because without knowing, they will not know themselves. Without knowing Allah Azza wa Jal, they will not know themselves. And what is the point of a person living his life and he doesn't know himself? A person living 50 years, 60 years of his life, and he doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know where he's going. It looks very strange, very awkward. Right? In the madrasa we teach. Oh, today I was teaching about, because we have the early days of the academic year. So we say to the students that, okay, you are learning what you are learning, but you need to know what you want to learn. Not only what you are learning now, but what is it that you want to learn? In other words, you need to know where you want to go. You are where you are. For example, you are learning Arabic language. Okay. Not only that you are busy learning Arabic language, you must know where you stand in Arabic language. And at what stage you want to see yourself. You are learning fiqh. You are learning masail, ahkam, halal, haram, rulings. But you must know what are the levels of learning. How many stages are there. And where do I find myself. So at least we know, okay, there are 7 steps and I'm at the first step. So I can work hard and try to go there. If I don't know where I am, then the possibility of reaching there is very, you know, very weak. It's like somebody standing at the Devon area, right in the middle. He's not going right, he's not going left, he's just looking around. People say, well, move, move, move. Well, I don't know where to go. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He said to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, qul, command, say, yani, invite people towards this belief. Let the people know about Allah Azza wa Jal. Make announcement, make declaration. It's very ajeeb. The first ayah in the Quran is commandment, iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord. Command. In the Quran, we have many commands. And many commands are directed towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was doing that already. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was already doing that. He was already inviting people towards Allah azza wa jal. But still commanded. Why? to show the importance of this command. That if Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is already obliging, he is being told again and again, do this, then what about the rest? Can the rest say, well, I'm not sure, I have to do it, I don't have to do it, I don't have time? There is no excuse. If something has to be done, it has to be done. Just one thing I would say quickly, and then move to the next ayah. Quran is the kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal, yani what Allah said. And that was inspired to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a manner which he knows and which Allah knows exactly. Because sometimes the wahy used to come in the form of a bell, like somebody ringing the bell. But Rasulullah would know what is it that Allah is saying. And then once that is done, once the process of wahy is done, Rasulullah he would ask one of the companions to come and he would say, okay, write it down. So it was like a ringing of the bell, but he would know. So in other words, there are no words. And sometimes there are other methods. But Quran is kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. So every kalima, every word of the Quran is kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. Nobody has the right to add anything to the Quran. Because anybody who would add anything to the Quran, that is not Allah's kalam, that is his own addition. Right? And nobody has the right to take any word from the Quran. Because as Muslims, we must believe in all of the Quran. If somebody believes in all of the Quran except one word, well, that is not a full belief. That is not a full belief. If somebody doesn't know, that is something else. If somebody has a general belief that I believe in all of the Quran, but he doesn't know all of the Quran up by heart, that is not an issue as such. But if somebody believes in all of the Quran except one ayah, except one word, well, something is wrong with him. There was one of the Arab rulers in Libya who passed away or who was killed some time ago. I don't know if you have heard of Gaddafi. Many people may not know. He had some strange ideas. You know, people have different ideas about different things. Say, how you want to govern the country, how you want to design your cities, how you want to, I don't know, design any objects, any products in your company. That's a different thing. But deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is complete. Deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is not subject to anybody's ideas. So one of the strange ideas he had, that Allah told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say. So Allah has said that, the Prophet has said that. Now we don't need to say qul. So he used to say that when you read Surah Ikhlas, you should not read from qul huwallahu ahad. You should read from huwallahu ahad. For example, qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, right? Say, I seek refuge in the Lord of the Daybreak. I seek refuge, I seek protection. Yani, we seek protection of Allah Azza wa Jal. So, Allah commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, Allah has commanded that. Now, you just say, I say. What you are saying, say, I say. Say, I seek refuge. also, may Allah protect us, used to have a lot of disregard for ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani saying Quran is enough. Why you bother about ahadith? Right? There have always been people like this throughout the history, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself predicted that there will be such people who will deny hadith. There will be such people, and there have been such people, and there will be, even in the future, there will be such people who will deny hadith, wal-iyadu billah, who will disregard hadith, wal-iyadu billah. But the problem is, if you are a very influential person, or if you are a very powerful person, you can make policies, you can make laws, and you can impose something on people. If that is good, well, that is good. But somehow if it is wrong, that is a disaster. So he forbade teaching of hadith in his country. Can you believe that? It was not allowed to teach a hadith. But look at the challenge ulama have. That you have to protect your deen, and you have to protect the deen of the masses. How can you protect the deen of the masses if they cannot have access to the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But alhamdulillah, in every era, Allah gives tawfiq. And there will be some people who will dedicate their lives to serve the deen of Allah azza wa jal. And there were people, even under those difficult situations, they served the deen of Allah, they served the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they protected the deen of the people. So he died, but people's beliefs are same. Nobody accepted his ideas. He could not create any new religion, he could not create any new sect or anything. But if Allah Azza wa Jal has said something in the Quran, that is part of the Quran. If I cannot understand the reason behind it or the wisdom behind it, that is my shortcoming. But there must be a reason, there must be a wisdom. And the wisdom is that this is a command for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is a command for every generation and every person who is reciting the Quran. So the command is not only for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Command is addressed to every single human being. So anybody who is reading the Quran, Allah is telling him, say this. Not only you believe this, declare this. Openly say this. Invite towards this belief other people. Because if a Muslim does not invite others, his belief does not become strong. If we believe in something seriously, then we will be proud of it. Not only that we will be proud of it, in fact, we would campaign for it. I see this nowadays, that lots of, you know, political commentators, they have their own podcasts. What is this podcast business? This is actually preaching their beliefs, preaching their ideas. They believe in something, and now they are trying to convince other people. That is da'wat. And the more they do that, even if it is wrong, the more they become strong in their own beliefs, in their own ideas. Because that is the nature of da'wat. That is the nature of preaching. When you invite others towards your own beliefs, your own beliefs become more solid. The more you think about it, the more you talk about it, the stronger and the more settled they become. So, in the Quran, Allah is saying to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to all the believers, say Allah is the one. If Muslims do this, duty, believe me, the earth will be, the world will be a different place. We have not done this duty. We have not done this duty. And we are not doing this duty. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did this job all his life. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they understood this very, very well, very clearly. And that's why they did the duty. And they openly said, they said in front of the world leaders, in front of the rulers, in front of the kings, in front of anybody, Allah is one, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe in Allah azza wa jal. I'm a follower of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ حَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ Allah is الصَّمَدْ. الصَّمَدْ is somebody who does not need anybody. الصَّمَدْ, somebody who is self-sufficient. Urdu mein bolte hain beniyaz. He doesn't care about anybody. He doesn't need anybody. Because he does not have any needs. He has everything. So why would he need anybody else? He's free from any needs. And he's free from any needs towards anybody. As-Samad. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ. It's very strange, but it is true. The more a person becomes associated with Allah Azza wa Jal, the more he takes from the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. He does not become God, wal'iyazu billah. Nobody becomes God. God is God. Allah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a believer takes beauty from the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why one of the qualities of the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal, that they have something called istighna. Istighna yani their mind, their heart is free from any need towards anybody. I was reading just on Monday. Monday was yesterday. Gardner Heights. Somebody came and we were studying a book about Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Shah Waliullah Sahib, great alim and muhaddith. He lived at the time of Mughal emperor called Aurangzeb, Alamgir. Aurangzeb Alamgir, he was the son of Shah Jahan. Shah Jahan is the one who built Taj Mahal. Shah Jahan is the one who built Taj Mahal. So very powerful king, Aurangzeb. And he is the one who unified India. India was, you know, small, like states, Rajwada, Nawabs, Sultans, Rajas, ruling different parts. So many people tried, and he is also one of those people who successfully unified and make it into a country. Aurangzeb was a pious person. He was a knowledgeable person. He was a very powerful king, but he was not a worldly person. He was very religious, very pious person. He used to make things from his own hand and sell it. And he would eat from that money. He would not eat from the treasury. He was one of the richest people. But the wealth of the state he did not use for his own benefit. You can imagine that. So he's almost like a wali. Right? Like, how can you have a king not benefiting from the... even if you take a salary, well, the king's salary will be very high. And that will not be wrong. That will not be haram. You know, king serving the people. Well, anybody who is dedicated to service of somebody, well, those people have obligation towards him. As simple as that. Like ulama have mentioned, if you are a judge, you should take a salary from the state because you are serving the people. So Aurangzeb was a very pious person. Aurangzeb, he asked Hazrat Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib, who was the father of Shah Waliullah Sahib, I would like you to come to my palace. I would like to have a meeting with you. So Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib, he sent a message that it is not our tradition to go to the doorstep of the kings. We don't go and see the kings. If you need me, you come. Why should I go and see you? That cannot be said unless a person has istighna inside, that I don't need you. Because if somebody feels that he needs the king, he cannot say that. Not only for money, sometimes you need people who are powerful, you need them for protection. You need them for your own setup, whatever setup you might have. You need approval, you need their blessing, you need their backup, whatever. And sometimes money is also needed. Sometimes, name is needed. Because if people know that you are associated with the king, then everybody will have regard for you, etc. But because Allah is As-Samad, Allah Azza wa Jal, He is As-Samad. Allah has istighna. Allah does not care about anybody, does not need anybody. So the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal will also have a reflection of that istighna. And we see this all the time. Obviously Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his example is very high. Sahaba radiyallahu anhu, we cannot even think of their example. But even in this day and age, we have ulama and we have pious people who have istighna. Hazrat Mawlana Ali Mian Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, who was an alim in Lucknow, and who was friend of Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, Mawlana Ilyas Sahib, who founded Tabligh movement. Hazrat Mawlana Ali Mian Sahib, he has a big madrasa, Nadwatul Ulama, about 5,000 students study. That is a big responsibility. Right? And they have accommodation, they have food, and they have all the arrangements. And then imagine the staff, the teachers, their salaries, and the upkeep of the madrasa, bills and everything else. And then their branches, they have 18,000 students in their branches. 18,000 students. That's a lot. Right? So usually in the month of Ramadan, they will have appeal and they will go around the people and they ask for donations, etc. So once Hazrat Ali Mian Sahib, because mashallah he was a well-known figure worldwide, and he had lots of scholars and members of royal families from Arab world who used to know him as a friend or as a good person. So once somebody visited him or he visited somebody, and he mentioned that, look, our madrasa needs some funds. So I'm just concerned about that. So that person, he was a very powerful figure in Qatar. Qatar means money. So Allah has given Muslims money. This is the sadaqah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Barakah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, we have done nothing special, and they have done nothing special. They are shepherds, Arab generally. shepherds. So he said that, okay, you know, the best thing to do is you come in the month of Ramadan. He said, Ramadan is time for ibadat, how can I come in Ramadan? Okay, not all Ramadan, at least just come for the last 10 days of Ramadan. Hazrat Ali bin Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi said, the last 10 days are more special. Last 10 days are days of i'tikaf. Last 10 nights for looking for Laylatul Qadr. How can they come around and just look for donations? So that Qadr Sheikh, I have read in his writing. Not like I have heard somebody say. No. I have read in his book. That Qatari Sheikh said, I just did not know what to do with the Sheikh. He's saying that he is concerned about his madrasa, that he has, you know, this big operation and this has to be fulfilled. And at the same time, he's not willing to compromise anything. He's not willing to go in Ramadan, and he's saying that I don't want to go to people in the last 10 days of Ramadan, because that is the time for i'tikaf, that is the time for Laylatul Qadr. So he says that I could not find any explanation. But the explanation is istighna. Explanation is this is the work of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah will look after His own work. You do what you can do, and you leave the rest to Allah Azza wa Jal. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. Inshallah, the rest we will do next time. Inshallah, I will read one hadith. This is the book called Mishkatul Athar. It is a small collection of a hadith from Mishkatul Masabih, which is a larger book. End of the Mishkatul Athar, we have 40 ahadith. So we are reading ahadith from there. So we read 2 ahadith, and inshallah we will read the 3rd hadith today. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من يأخذ عني هؤلاء الكلمات فيعمل بهن أو قال يعلم من يعمل بهن أو يعلم من يعمل بهن فقال أبو هريرة قلت أنا يا رسول الله فأخذ بيدي فعد 5 فقال اتق المحارم تكون عبد الناس وارضى بما قسم الله لك تكون أغنى الناس وأحسن إلى جارك تكون مؤمنا وأحب لناس ما تحب لنفسك تكون مسلمة ولا تقصد الضحكة فإن كثرة الضحكة تميد القلب رواه الترمذي. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه said that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, who will take from me these words and act upon them or teach them to somebody who would act upon them? يعني I'm going to say some words, يعني I'm going to say certain things. Who is willing to take from me, yani who is willing to learn from me and act upon them, because that is the purpose of learning, or teach to somebody who would act upon them. Sometimes we may not be ready for whatever reason to act upon something immediately, but the beauty of knowledge is that you can pass it on. Well, pass it on to somebody who will benefit from that knowledge. And at least that will be a means of guidance for somebody. So Abu Huraira said, Ya Rasulullah, me. Yani, I am ready to receive and I am ready to act upon them and teach it to those who would act upon them. فَأَخَذَ بِيَدِي. So Rasulullah hold his hand. This was his method of teaching. فَعَدَّ خَمْسًا. And he counted 5 so that he can remember. What are they? فَقَالَ, he said, اِتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمَ, avoid the haram. Avoid haram. اِتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمَ, اِتَّقِ, avoid. تَقْوَى, avoid. ittaqil maharima, avoid haram. Takun a'badan nas, you will become the most worshipper among the people. Worshipper is not somebody who is worshipping Allah. Worshipper is somebody who is obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. Worshipper is not somebody who is doing nawafil, nafil upon nafil, nafil. That is good, no doubt. But the real worshipper is the one who is obeying Allah Azza wa Jal, and the obedience of Allah is to avoid haram. Avoiding haram is the first step to become a worshipper of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that requires knowledge. That we need to know what is halal, what is haram. Because if you don't know what is haram, how can we avoid it? If we don't know what is haram, how can we avoid it? And sometimes it can be very, very serious. Astaghfirullah. Sometimes we have people coming for counseling. And because, unfortunately, we have a lot of ignorance about the ahkam, about the rulings, about the halal, haram. So people, their nikah finished long time ago. Marriage finished long time ago. But is still living as husband and wife. If nikah is finished, they are no longer husband and wife. And every single day they live with zina, wal'iyadu billah. They are like somebody who is committing adultery, wal'iyadu billah. Imagine people living like that for years and years. And they don't know why they are not getting along with each other. Why would they go along with each other? They are not supposed to get along with each other. Because they are not husband and wife. That is the good thing, that they are not getting along with each other. So they only know once they come for and seek help and seek advice and guidance. And then they discover that their marriage is finished long time ago. Because the way you have two strangers coming together, and because of Allah's permission, they become married. If that promise of Allah is broken, marriage will also be broken, and they become strangers again for each other. So they are not allowed to live as husband and wife. Unfortunately, because people don't know, they keep committing haram. I give two examples, real examples. Which is happening. Not like, obviously this is a real example in the sense that this can happen. But this is a real example in the sense that this is happening in our communities. May Allah forgive us. People give talaq for reason, for no reason. And they keep giving talaq again and again. But there is a limit to talaq. Right? You cannot have unlimited talaq, unlimited data. Talaq is not data, unlimited data. Talaq is very much limited. Okay, there is a process, obviously because of the time we cannot go through that. But say you have followed all the procedures, all the process and everything else, and somehow the person has come to a conclusion that he has to give talaq. Okay, give one talaq. Right? Come back to sense, you can reverse that talaq. There is a period of three cycles, and somehow still mind is set, no, there is no way forward. Okay, that becomes confirmed. Nikah will be finished. But there is a chance to get married again. The nikah is finished. But if somehow they decide, if they make tawbah and they realize, no, like, you know, what we did was wrong, okay, they can get married again. So they depart, but there is a possibility of rejoining. Say a person gave talaq, right? And before that period is finished, he decides he gives another talaq. Okay. Again, after a time, that will end the marriage. But still, they have a possibility of getting married again because he has given only two talaq. But somehow, if he gives talaq three times, either three separate times or three times in one go or three times in one sentence, that is three. Three times at different times, that is three. Three times in one go, that is three. And three times in one breath, that is also three. That should not be, that is not the way. But somehow if somebody does that, well, he has harmed himself, he will receive the consequence. Unfortunately, many people don't know this. Simply, they never learn the rules of nikah, the rules of talaq. Many people don't learn. So they give talaq, and they think, no, I was not serious, I did not mean it. And they live like husband and wife. After giving talaq three times, they cannot live like husband and wife. And if they do, that is a haram relationship. If they do, that is a haram relationship. That is like living with somebody who is a total stranger. Believe me, this is happening a lot in our community. This is happening, and that's how we have problem with children, we have problem, fights all the time in our families, Riyazubillah, may Allah forgive us. Because they're not meant to be together anyway. They're not meant to be together, and they are trying to be together. How can they be together? Another example, which is a very serious thing, and which not many people know. A man is not supposed to touch a woman who is not mahram, unless she is halal for her. A stranger woman, how can she become halal? There was a time when there was legal slavery, so that was the way. Now there is no legal slavery. So now there is only one way, which is to get married. So if a person gets married to a woman whom he can get married to, then she becomes halal for her. So he can touch her. Right? Otherwise, even touching once is not allowed. Is haram. Okay. If a person touches a stranger woman, that is haram, that is a sin. But that may not have a big consequence. If a person touches wife of his son, a father-in-law touches wife of his son, yani his daughter-in-law, that is haram and that has a very serious consequence. That is haram. But that has a very serious consequence, which is that their marriage will be broken. The son's marriage with his wife will finish. Because a woman, she cannot have relationship with a person and with his father. A woman, she cannot have relationship with a person and with his father. This is a very serious matter. Because we are living in a time of fitna. We are living in a time of fitna. And may Allah forgive us. Sometimes people have shaitan. Sometimes shaitan runs inside the human being, like the blood runs inside the human body. Inna shaitan yajri min al-insani majra ad-dam. In the hadith, Rasulullah has mentioned, indeed shaitan runs inside the human being like the blood runs. So shaitan comes, he will forget that this is his son's wife. And not only that he is committing haram, he is destroying his son's life, and he is destroying his son's marriage. That's why it's a very serious matter. Unfortunately, not many people know this. Or sometimes people know this is wrong, but they keep quiet. They will just mention once or twice to his husband or mother-in-law or somebody. I said, you know your dad, he's not like, he doesn't behave well, you know, something. I am buying shy. Khalas, finished. But the problem is that the nikah will be broken and that relationship can never be blessed. Whether that is blessed or not, that is haram relationship. So, ittaqil maharima takuna abadan nas. Avoid haram, you will become the most worshipper among the people. That's why, especially in families where you have combined, you know, what do you call it? Where people live with their in-laws, joint families, you have to be very, very, very careful. You have to be very, very careful. Obviously, if it is a good family, if everybody is good, you know, daughter-in-law is serving his father, her father-in-law, mother-in-law with sincerity, that is a great act of dedication, act of service, act of, you know, kindness, generosity, etc. A lot of thawab. But somehow, if something goes wrong, that has a very serious consequence. That's why people should be very careful, especially when they're alone. In joint families, this has to be taken into consideration. Sometimes people go for work, sometimes they have appointments, sometimes, you know. So people have to be very careful. Most of the people are careful, but sometimes some people are careless. Or some people are naive. Some people say, well, you know, he's our family member, he's this, he's that. If something goes wrong with a stranger, that is also wrong, but that is less serious. That is also wrong. Say, for example, you are a wealthy person and you have a driver. You have a servant at home, right? And somehow that driver touches somebody's wife. That is wrong, but that has less serious consequence. But this has a very different consequence. اتق المحارم تكون عبد الناس وارض بما قسم الله لك تكون اغنى الناس. And be pleased with what Allah has distributed to you. You will become the richest person among the people. Be pleased with what Allah has distributed for you. You will become the richest among the people. Because whether you are rich or not, you decide. Don't let the people decide whether you are rich or not. The more you are satisfied, the richer you are. The less you are satisfied, the more distressed you are. So if a person, obviously, we as human being, we work hard and we take the necessary means to survive and to earn for living, whatever we do within the lawful means. But we also believe that it is Allah who gives. It is not our effort who would produce the result. Our effort is only a means. It is Allah who produces the result. If the people who work hard, they produce the result, then there are lots of people who are working very hard, and their hard work does not produce any result as such. So Allah has, Azza wa Jal, He distributes. You will become, you are satisfied with the distribution of Allah, you will become the richest among the people. Two, number three, وَأَحْسِنِ إِلَىٰ جَارِكَ تَكُنْ مُؤْمِنًا. Be kind to your neighbor, you will become a believer. Be kind to your neighbor, you will become a believer. وَأَحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ تَكُنْ مُسْلِمًا. And love for the people what you love for yourself, you will become a Muslim. Subhanallah. Love for the people. Love. The word love. Love for the people what you love for yourself, you will become a Muslim. We have to think about ourselves very seriously. Who we are, what we are doing. Do we love for the people what we love for ourselves? Not for Muslims. Not for Muslims. Love for the people. What you love for yourself. You will become Muslim. وَلَا تُكْثِرِ الضُّحْكَ. Number five. And do not laugh a lot. All the time laughing. Do not laugh a lot. Because abundance of laughing makes the heart die. A person will become heedless. A person will forget Akhirah and will forget his death. May Allah protect us. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. InshaAllah, ek do adab padhte hain, phir chuti. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. وضو کے آداب ہو گئے نا, مسواک کے آداب, بکثرت مسواک کرنا, مسواک خوب کرنا, بار بار کرنا, ادب ہے, ادب مطلب ریکمنڈیشن ہے. بالخصوص وضو کے وقت مسواک کرنا. حدیث میں ہے کہ حضور نے فرمایا کہ مجھے مسواک کا حکم دیا گیا, یہاں تک کہ مجھے ڈر ہوا کہ یہ فرض کر دیا جائے گا. Like I was told so many times, do miswak. I feared that actually I will be obliged to do miswak. Usi hadith mein ke huzur ne farmaya ki agar mujhe is baat ka dar na hota ke logon ke liye mushkil ho jati, to main unko har wuzu ke waqt mein miswak ka hukm deta. I would have commanded them to make miswak. Magar it can become difficult for people, so he did not oblige us. Magar ye hai ke سنت تو ہے, ادب تو ہے. مسواک دائیں ہاتھ سے پکڑنا, سیدھے ہاتھ سے پکڑنا مسواک, اس طرح سے پکڑتے مسواک. یہ جو ہے نا چھوٹی انگلی مسواک کے نیچے, اور جو بنسر ہے, سبابا ہے, یہ جو انگلی ہے یہ اس کے اوپر, اور پھر یہ جو انگوٹھا ہے یہ پھر اس کے ادھر اینڈ پہ, اس طرح سے. ہاں ہاں, تو یہ ادھر اور یہ اوپر, یہ جو انگلیاں ہیں. مسواک پکڑنے کا طریقہ, دائیں ہاتھ کی سب سے چھوٹی انگلی کو مسواک کے نیچے رکھے اور اس کے برابر والی, درمیان والی اور شہادت والی انگلی کو مسواک کے اوپر رکھے اور انگوٹھا مسواک کے سرے کی طرف نیچے رکھے. یہ ادب ہے, طریقہ ہے. مسواک کرنے میں داہنی طرف سے شروع کرنا, رائٹ سائڈ سے شروع کرنا, منہ کے چوڑائی میں مسواک کرنا. مسواک ایسا کرنا, ایسا نہیں, ایسا ایسا, ٹھیک ہے. اگرچہ کہ اس بارے میں ڈفرینٹ اوپینین بھی ہے، مطلب اس کتاب میں یا یہی لکھا ہوا ہے. مسواک کم از کم 3 مرتبہ الگ الگ پانی لے کر کرنا، یعنی ایک دفعہ مسواک کر دیا آپ نے، پانی لے کر تھوک دیا، پھر مسواک کرنا، پھر پانی لے کر، کیونکہ اب مسواک کر رہے ہیں تو جو میل ہے وہ جانا نا بھائی، وہ وہی ہے، پھر اسی کو گھما رہے ہیں. ریسائکل. مسواک دھو کر استعمال کرنا، یعنی مسواک کرنے سے پہلے مسواک کو دفعہ دھو لینا، کیونکہ ایکسپوز ہوتی ہے رائٹ، پھر فریش بھی ہو جاتی ہے، اچھا لگتا ہے. اور استعمال کر کے دھو لینا، جب آپ استعمال کر لیے رکھنے سے پہلے پھر دھو کے اس کو رکھنا. اگر معذوری کی وجہ سے مسواک کو نرم کرنے کے لیے نہ چبا سکتا ہو تو دوسرے سے چباؤ کر مسواک کرنا. مسواک اصل میں سوکھ جاتی ہے رائٹ، تو سخت ہوتی تو مشکل ہوتی ہے، تو آپ کیا کرتے ہیں، مسواک کو دھو لیتے ہیں، تھوڑا سا بھگو لیتے ہیں، پھر چباتے ہیں، چبانے سے نرم ہو جاتی ہے، پھر آپ کو مسواک کرنا آسان ہو جاتا ہے. اگر کوئی آدمی خود نہیں کر سکتا، بیمار ہے، کمزور ہے، خود نہیں کر سکتا، اپنی بیوی سے بول سکتا ہے کہ یار میرے لیے تھوڑا سا مسواک نرم کر کے دے دو. کسی اور آدمی سے بھی کہہ سکتا ہے، مگر دوسرے آدمی سے بعض دفعہ اتنی بے تکلفی نہیں ہوتی. بیوی سے بے تکلفی ہوتی ہے. حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے آخری عمر میں جس بیماری میں حضور کا انتقال ہو گیا، دنیا سے چلے گئے، اس بیماری میں حضور نے حضرت عائشہ سے کہا تھا کہ میرے لیے مسواک نرم کر کے دے دو. حضرت عائشہ کا تعلق حضور سے ویسا تھا، یہ کوئی آسان معمولی بات نہیں ہے. آپ جب لگڑتے ہیں تو آدمی کا تھوک اس میں لگتا ہے، اور وہی پھر حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے مبارک جو ہے منہ کو لگ رہا ہے، تو کتنا تعلق ہے. تو عائشہ وہ ہے رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ. حضرت عائشہ کی ڈس ریسپیکٹ جو آدمی بھی کرے گا وہ حضور کی ڈس ریسپیکٹ ہے. جس آدمی کے دل میں ذرہ بھی ایمان ہے وہ حضرت عائشہ کے ڈس ریسپیکٹ نہیں کر سکتا. جو حضرت عائشہ کے ڈس ریسپیکٹ کرے اس کا کوئی ایمان ہی نہیں ہے. مسواک نہ ہو تو انگلیوں کو اس کے قائم مقام سمجھنا، مگر اس کی عادت نہ بنانا. مسواک نہیں ہے تو انگلی سے دانت صاف کرنا، کیونکہ دانت صاف کرنا بہتر ہے نہیں کرنے سے. انگلی سے بھی رگڑنے سے اگر کچھ میل کچھ ہو بس کھانے کے بعد کچھ ہی رہ جاتی ہے تو وہ دور ہو جائے گا، مگر وی کی ناٹ میک اے ہیبٹ آؤٹ آف اٹ. بچوں اور ماتحتوں کو بھی مسواک کی تعلیم دینا، بچوں کو بھی عادت ڈالنا بھائی مسواک کرو مسواک کرو مسواک کرو. اور آپ کے جو ماتحت ہیں، آپ کے جو خادم ہیں، امپلائیز ہیں، وائف ہے، ان کو بھی بولنا مسواک کرو. متعدد اشخاص کی موجودگی میں اگر مسواک دینا ہو تو بڑے آدمی کو مسواک پیش کرنا. آپ کسی کو مسواک دینا چاہ رہے ہیں تو جو ایلڈرلی پرسن ہے اس کو، جو سب سے سینئر پرسن ہے اس کو مسواک دینا، کیونکہ وہ اس کے لیے ریسپیکٹ ہے، اس کے لیے جو ہے وہ آنر ہے. خاص طور پر جو ہے دو موقعوں پر مسواک کرنے کا اہتمام کرنا چاہیے. دانت اگر پیلے ہو گئے، دانت پیلے ہو گئے مطلب یہ کہ بہت دن سے دانت صاف نہیں کیا تو مسواک کرنا چاہیے، یا منہ میں سے بدبو آ رہی ہے بھائی دیٹ از خلاص انڈیکیشن کہ بھائی سم تھنگ شوڈ بی ڈن. وصلی اللہ وسلم علی سیدنا محمد والحمد للہ رب العالمین.